All right, let's talk to our man, Joe Corey, because everybody in the world of the NFL is talking about this new Matt Ryan contract. And when this came down yesterday, I was like to our producers, get Joe Corey on the phone.
We got a guy that can make some sense of this.
So, Joe, appreciate you jumping on as always. We said this a few months back when you joined us. This was bound to happen. But Matt Ryan becomes the first $30 million per season quarterback in the NFL. It's $100 million guaranteed. I think the big question for Falcon fans is, how does this affect us moving forward with the salary cap and our ability to hold on to some of our young defensive stars?
Well, you're always going to have to make a choice because you drafted too well with the young defensive stars. There's no way you're ever going to keep all of them, regardless of if you could get Matt Ryan to take a hometown discount. Now, the one thing that you have to keep in mind about this current deal, that compared – the percentage that it's taking up relative to where the cap is when he signs it, it's about the same as the last deal, and you're able to go to Super Bowl then, so I'm not going to rule out that you can get back there like you were two seasons ago. I always thought Ryan was going to – the magic numbers were going to be $30 million per year and $100 million guarantees for a couple of reasons. One, Tom Kahn and his agent had the first $20 million per year guy, Drew Brees, and after – Kirk Cousins got 84.5 fully guaranteed at signing and 28 on the average, and Garoppolo at 27.5 on an average, and he's done next to nothing in the NFL, that you're going to have to put Ryan right about there if you're going to get something done with him.
It is Joe Corey, former NFL executive and an agent, knows a lot about the cap space, and we'll talk more about the cap coming up. Matt's deal, for guys that were freaking out, Joel, this will be much to do about nothing in 2 or 3 years when all the other quarterbacks that are really succeeding right now, for instance, when you look around the league and when Goff has to have a deal, or, you know, when Cam Newton's deal comes up in a couple of years. So right now it's a little bit of shock, sort of sticker shock, but in 3 or 4 years it'll be the average, right?
Yeah, well, look at the current deal. When he signed it in 2013, he was the second highest paid guy behind Aaron Rodgers, and now you got multiple guys at over 21 million per year. He's not even, the ink's barely going to be drawn this deal before he's no longer the highest paid player in the league, because Aaron Rodgers is going to top it. I expect the deal, if what happened last time holds true, where there's about a 6% difference on the average between the two, him to be about 31.5 to 32 million Ryan this year. Then next year, if Carson Wentz can come back and play like he did prior to tearing up his knee, Philadelphia always does stuff early. They did Lane Johnson after 3 years. They're going to want to do Carson then. And in order to get him to do a deal after 3 years and buy out multiple years, you're going to have to put him above the Ryan deal. And what if Russell Wilson can get something done in this contract year, knowing that his franchise tag number is going to be over $30 million? You're going to have to do the same thing for him. So this deal is going to drop down the totem pole pretty quickly, because look what happened this year. Garoppolo started as the highest paid player when he signed the deal. At best, he'll be fourth by the time these deals are done.
Joe Corey joining us here on Dukes of Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks, helping kind of understand the Matt Ryan contract from a number standpoint, guys. So I'm looking at this, Joe, and it says signing bonus, $46.5 million. So for fans who are listening, that means once he signs, there's a check for $46.5 million. Then you look at this,
you know, it reads. Let me stop you there. That doesn't mean he's getting a check for $46.5 million once he puts pen to paper. Signing bonuses are paid in installments. And in 2013, when he
throughout
got a $20 million signing bonus,
yes,
he got 15 in March 2014. So there's going to be some portion of the signing bonus he gets paid in 2019.
A portion of it. We don't know how much. Okay. So,
but remember those NFL rules, Joel, we talked to you about when Kirk Cousins had his deal?
We did.
There was some language going back to the 60s. We were under the impression that, like, Arthur literally has to back up the Brinks truck and give Matt all that money up front.
And have it ready. All right. So I wanted to ask you about this language, though, because, you know, it says here, and I'm just reading off of what we have found out about this contract. There's no offset language. And they're saying basically that means the $94.5 million is fully guaranteed at signing. What does that mean? I mean, how do we explain that to the average Joe who's listening? What does that mean?
Well, the first 3 years are fully guaranteed at signing. And the archaic language I think you're referring to is the funding rule, that if you have skill and in-skill
yes.
and cap guarantees, you have to put the money in escrow, and that was back then when you had to worry about solvency. The offsets basically mean if you release him, then he can double dip. He gets all the money in the guarantee for the Falcons and every dollar for the guarantee with the new team. Most deals or a lot of deals have offsets where you can recoup the guaranteed money from the deal he signs elsewhere. This isn't unique to Matt Ryan contracts. The 2013 extension, there weren't offsets with the base salary guarantees in that one either. So he got it last time around. They're going to have to do it for him this time around.
Joel Corey's with us here, guys. Guy really understands the cap, an agent, a capologist, joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Dukes and Bell live here from Twin Peaks. So, Joel, as most Falcon fans have asked us when we heard the announcement, and we all knew this was coming, but now, as we said, the sticker shock is here. How do we hold on to Deion? We got Deion Jones, we got Keanu Neal, Grady Jarrett's got to get paid. As your point when you started the conversation with us, we've done a really great job of drafting defense. So does that mean Julio has to give some back on the back end? How do we manipulate the numbers?
Julio giving up any money? He thinks he's the best receiver in the league. He probably thinks he's underpaid after Sammy Watkins is getting $16 million a year to catch 40 balls for 600 yards and not stay healthy. He's probably going to want more money. I know some people have thought that the absence – had been financially related, but there's no way he's getting any money right now, 3 years left. Most immediately, yeah, you have two guys who are up. One offensive player, not up, but next up on the totem pole. Jake Matthews, your left tackle. The left tackle market has really escalated with Nate Solder. Good left tackle, not great. Highest paid left tackle in the league. You're going to have Taylor Lewan from Tennessee, probably top that, go to $16 million. You got Eric Fisher at 12. I think Jake Matthews is better than Eric Fisher, so that's going to be a high number. Grady Jarrett, he's kind of a hard guy to value. He's not a pass rusher in the classic sense from the interior or a run stuffer. Run stuffers make about 12, top of the market, those guys. Pass rushers interior right now, 17-plus million a year, so where do you fit him in? Vic Beasley, that's the big-ticket one. Hey, if he can come back and have a double-digit sack season, you could be looking at close to $20 million per year with him. So then what linebackers do you take care of?
You got to take care of Deion Jones. What's a top middle linebacker getting in the league right now?
Well, that's $11, $12 million per year. So, yeah, you're going to have some major headaches. That means drafting well for the next couple of years will be of the utmost importance because you're going to need – good young talent that can step in and play to balance out cap-wise and salary-wise your high-ticket items.
Guys, I hope you're hearing what Joel Corey is saying. He is a former sports agent currently with CBS Sports as an analyst. We get Joel on periodically to talk about these kinds of issues. And, you know, we talk about the salaries and the salary cap and the effect on our football team. But what Joel is saying is whether we win the Super Bowl or not, decisions will be made.
Some hard decisions.
And financially, we won't be able to keep everybody, even with the salary cap going up. You can't pay Jake 16 or 12 or whatever it is. You can't pay Deion 12. You can't turn around and play Vic 20 and then have the Matt Ryan deal and by the way, these other deals that are going to happen. So it's a very interesting thing, but this is the problem you have, Mike, when you draft well, which we have over the last few years.
Now, Joel, you mentioned Jake Matthews. We've talked a lot about it. We just assume that once Matt's deal is in place, do you anticipate Jake's deal being restructured this summer or during the season? When does that go down?
I try to get it done before Taylor Lewan raises the bar because Taylor Lewan's better than Nate Solder and Jake. So if Taylor Lewan gets the deal that I think he's going to get, it's going to be over $16 million per year. And usually there's the theory with agents that a rising tide lifts all boats. So whatever Jake was going to get before that deal's in the marketplace, the number's probably going to go up after Taylor's in. And I'm sure that has to be on the Tennessee Titans' agenda. And to make matters worse, the agent for Taylor Lewan is also Matt Ryan's agent, and I've never known Tom Condon when he's had leverage to do a team-friendly deal.
Yeah, it's funny because some of our listeners and some folks here in the ATL were like, well, Matt needs a hometown discount. I don't think this is a hometown discount.
Not even close.
Joel Corey joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. I want to go back to Grady real quick because you're right. It's hard to quantify or qualify exactly what he does. We know he's a playmaker. But if you go into the negotiating room and say he's a pass rusher, which he's not, the sack numbers are not there. You talked about the run stop. How do you sell that? Because Grady is a friend of the show. He did our show last year, Joel, and we think he's a very important part of this defense. How do you sell that to the Falcons to get that number?
Well, I obviously I don't represent him, so I haven't looked at the numbers, but I'm not looking totally at sacks. I'm looking at pressures, hits, hurries, and sacks combined. Right. And if that's favorable, then I'm using that because that's really, to me, more important than sacks because you cannot consistently put pressure on quarterbacks and get sacks. Like last year, Julius Peppers had like 20 total pressures, but his sack conversion rate was over 50%. I'd rather have a guy that is consistently there because you can affect an offense with a hit or a hurry, maybe more so than with the sack because maybe the hit or the hurry leads to an interception or a turnover as well. So I don't know what the numbers look like, but I'd start there in terms of trying to build my case to get him paid more like a pass rusher as opposed to a run stuffer.
Joel Corey's with us, guys. He's a regular guest here on Dukes and Bell. The best guest we have to kind of explain how the cap works and break it down as a former agent now working for CBS Sports here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So as an agent, just looking at the Falcons' big picture, obviously Matt just got his deal. So would you say we've got some tough decisions to make? I mean, it is the reality of all general managers that are, have a team that's drafted well over the years.
Oh, yeah, you definitely do. And one thing I can say that you can kiss goodbye, which was wishful thinking. I think you draft indicated that. There is no way you are going to be able to re-sign Tevin Coleman. One, why would he want to play with Devonta Freeman after you've made him for now the highest paid running back on a long-term deal? So he's going to be a luxury you can't afford because any deal you would want to pay him to keep him around that's going to be enticing is going to have to be more than you want to pay for a situational running back. So he's out of the picture. It's just you're going to – like Bobby Wagner said with Seattle when they were going through this, when those guys were coming off their rookie contracts, you can't keep them all. So you guys are going to be in that same situation.
Yeah, and Joel, thank you for saying that because, you know, we've been saying that over and over, and a lot of people are going, well, I don't get it. Why not? I mean, what if they're both productive? It has nothing to do with it. It really doesn't. It's got more to do with what they've already done with Free, and you've now drafted Ito Smith. Hopefully, in the fourth round, we drafted Ito Smith.
Right.
He turns into something that you feel comfortable with, you know, moving forward, that you don't have to think about going outside and maybe bringing in a free agent.
But, Joel, you know, we brought Thomas Dimitroff down here because we wanted to take some of that genius juice from the New England Patriots, their business model. They, and to a lesser extent, the Steelers, seem to be the only team that can do it year after year after year. Is it really come down, from an agent standpoint, about making those hard decisions, when to cut bait, maybe before a guy is maybe over the fence?
Yeah, well, New England more so than anybody else, they're the most clinical, unemotional team in terms of decisions. With players, their motto is it's better to get rid of a player a year too early as opposed to a year too late. And if you had the true New England model, you never would have signed Julio Jones to a long-term deal because they don't pay wide receivers, period, up there. They also are able to use Brady. You get Brady to take the hometown discount. They use that in negotiations against everybody. Well, Tom's not taking top dollar. He's not. He should be the highest paid player in the league, but he's sacrificing for the team. You should too. And because they always win, they're able to get a veteran or two like a Chris Long to come in there, play for peanuts to try to win a Super Bowl. And also, they will ship off players that they know aren't going to fit in long term. They can be very good players. Jamie Collins, Chandler Jones, and Brandon Cooks this year. So nobody does that model like New England does.
I ring my bell because you brought genius to the show.
That's what Joel
I mean,
does.
It's so true about the year before, then a year after, and they don't care. They just don't. Joel, it's always good to get you on, man. I know it's been a fun couple of days. I know it's going to be even, you know, more interesting as we move along, as you said, some of these other contracts that are going to get done. So Aaron Rodgers, how long do we have to wait? When's that deal get done, do you think, date-wise? A couple of months?
No later than the beginning of training camp.
Okay.
And basically, if you missed what Joel earlier said, about 5% more than what Matt's game, maybe a little bit more. Joel, we always love picking your brain, man. Thanks for the insight.
Sure, anytime. Thanks for having me.